Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, it's good to be in church. We are in the middle of our Get Smart series, and what that is, it's we're going through some Proverbs talking about wisdom. And the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, above all and before all, do this, get wisdom. Write it at the top of your list, get understanding. And, you know, really, if it's wisdom's at the top of God's list, then it should be at the top of our list. And what wisdom is it's, you know, you can be smart, you can have knowledge in different areas, but wisdom is really knowing how best to do life, how to apply the knowledge that you have. And in doing that, Proverbs are written by one of the wisest men who ever lived. His name was Solomon. And he's saying, you know what, by and large, when I see people walk and go through life walking by these principles, they're blessed. When I see people living by these principles, they're blessed. And so if you want to be blessed and you want to see your life operate out of a wisdom that not only blesses you, but can bless your family, bless people that you work with, then read the Proverbs and get a little wisdom in your life. Say, you know what, I'm going to set my heart to get wisdom. And that's why we're in this series. And it's a lot of fun to talk about the Proverbs because there's just practical wisdom in there. Sometimes it's funny, but it really helps you out. And it's deceivingly simple. That's how wisdom works. It, you know, initially when you hear it, that you're like, oh, that seems simple. But as you meditate on it, you realize there's a depth in there that will really change your life. And so today we're going to talk about get smart, get generous. Get smart, get generous. And as you think about the Bible and what the important topics are in the Bible, you know, if you go through the different words, and actually I'll put some on the screen, the words that are in the Bible, you know, you'd be interested to know how many times different things are mentioned. Like the word believe is mentioned 247 times in the Bible. Believe's important, 247 times. The word prayer is mentioned 371 times in the Bible. The word love is mentioned 714 times in the Bible. But the word give is mentioned 2,161 times in the Bible. 2,100. And what's that saying to us? First of all, our God is a generous God. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. God is a generous God. He loves to give to people. He loves to bless people. I don't know where you know, what church background you're from or just coming in today, how you feel about you and God. But I can tell you this, that God is looking at you, and the Bible says he longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show compassion. We serve a generous God. And we, as his people, reflect his heart when we're generous, when we give, when we make our life about giving. And the proverb we're going to look at today literally says this, that your life is going to go better. You know, it can seem counterintuitive when you think about, well, if I give my life away, if I give away things, then I'm going to have less. But the wisdom of what we're looking at today is your life is actually going to be better, more full, more fulfilling, more blessed the more you give. And so we're going to put a scripture on the screen. It's from Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24. And it says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So what I want to do today is a few things. First of all, encourage you and your generosity. Encourage you to be generous. Secondly, I want to show you the biblical way of generosity. And third, I want to show you the blessing of generosity. All this coming out of scripture and the wisdom that we get from the Proverbs. But man, how many of you say, man, I want to live a big life. I want to make a big impact. I want to have a legacy that makes a huge impact. You know, there's a bigness to generosity that happens. That when we live life, our lives are actually bigger, the big way of generosity. Our lives actually make a bigger difference when we're generous. And you know, that's the wisdom. And wisdom, like I said, can seem simple, but wisdom can make a big impact. I was talking with somebody before the first service, and speaking of wisdom, you know, there was some cords hanging from my kitchen light for over a year. I know. They're just hanging there. And every once in a while, Beth and I would go, yep, they're still there. Yep, there they are. And I, she'd be like, you going to do anything about that? And I'd be like, later. Yeah, later. But I felt like, man, it's time. It's time to get up there. And I need to do something about that. And so I decided I'm gonna get them all and I'm going to fix it because there were some issues with that light. It was very frustrating. And my father-in-law had worked on it with me for a while. And we just like just decided to give up on it, mostly me. And so so I go to tackle it. And I had talked to somebody, and they had talked to me about working on some electrical stuff, and they said they didn't shut the power off, they're just really careful. And I said, that's brilliant. I'm gonna do that. Save me time. I don't wanna walk all the way over to the breaker and click that thing, you know? That's a lot of work. So I just get the ladder out, and I didn't tell Beth my wisdom. I didn't tell her what I was. I was just like, you know, I'll just get it out, get it done. She won't even have to know. She'll be like, you're brilliant. You're obviously my husband and awesome. And you're so fast at everything you do and amazing. And that's what you think about me, correct? So, yeah. So I'm up there and I'm working on it. And I didn't know. Okay, so I kept the wires separate. That's rule number one. I got that one down. But I didn't know, like, if you cut the wire, something happens, like, if they're live. So I had the pliers out. Fortunately, they're rubber coated. Otherwise, somebody else might be preaching right now. But I go to cut the wire and like huge, you know, like pop and big flash. And it freaked me out. All right. And Beth was just watching me being entertained. And she was like, oh, my goodness, babe, you forgot to shut off the power. And because I didn't tell her. And I just go, oh no, I should do that. You're right, I need to go shut that power off. And I never told her. She didn't know until she was watching first service and heard the rest of the story. But can we just give a hand for my wife because she gets to watch me learn wisdom. She's awesome. You know, wisdom's important. It will save you from a lot of trouble, and it will bless your life when you have wisdom in it. You know, it's funny when we talk about things like cutting a live wire and how unwise that is, but in life, if we don't have wisdom, we can make decisions that will damage the people around us. We can make decisions that could lead to a lack of blessing in our family, could lead to a lack of blessing in our job for the people that we influence, the people that we impact. There's a lack of blessing, but when we live our life with wisdom, there's a blessing that affects every single person around us. And so when we read a scripture about generosity, lest we think, oh, this is just about me being more generous and I probably need to try harder to be generous. Don't think about it that way. Think, you know what, if I can get this in my spirit, this is not just gonna bless me, but it's gonna bless people around me. It's gonna bless every aspect of my life, and it's gonna leave a legacy for my kids to watch, to say, you know what, I remember my mom was so generous. I remember my dad was so generous. That's the power of what we're reading today. That, in fact, the Bible says that the world of the generous is larger and larger. It's an ever-expanding world. In fact, it's interesting to note the contrast when you read that scripture, that the world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. You know, how does that work? I think there's another scripture that kind of brings a little bit of that to life, that almost when you're generous, you see things differently when you're generous. You just see a different world. The way you look at an opportunity or the way you pass by a need, your vision is different when you're a generous person. The Bible says this, it says, he who has a generous eye will be blessed. I love that thought of a generous eye, that what I see through the lens of generosity. You know, the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And you can almost picture a stingy person, and the world's more like this, you know? You ever see a horse with blinders on so they can only see just a little bit of where they're going, only see a little bit of the world? But the stingy person, they actually are looking down with blinders on because their focus is on their own world. How does this need, if I interact with it, actually affect me? It's not about how it will bless the other person. It's about how it will affect me. It's about where am I going? What plans do I have? And it all makes your world smaller. But the world of the generous, a generous eye, is somebody who's looking out to say, how can I be generous to the world around me? What can I do to make an impact on the people around me? Maybe if you feel like, man, my world's gotten so small. Maybe if you feel like, man, I wish my life was making more of an impact. I want to encourage you less to make different goals for life, which goals aren't bad, but to say, you know what? I'm going to just start looking out for ways to be generous. You'll find that when you do that, all of a sudden you'll see your life begin to expand. You'll see your world begin to expand. You'll see your impact begin to expand. You'll see you're blessing the lives of people because you're looking out for ways to be generous. You know, how you think, they think, how does your world get bigger and how does that work? You know, you can be generous just by the way you talk. The Bible says the words of the righteous feed many. The words of the righteous nourish many. Interesting to think, if people were eating and nourished by my words, would they be starving or would they be full? It's an interesting way to think. If my family was nourished by the way I speak, are they starving for encouragement or are they full? If my coworkers were nourished by the way I speak, well, are they starving for life-giving words or are they starving for life-giving words or are they full? You know, we can really build encouragement through the generosity of our words. That's a simple thing, but it's a way of looking out and saying, you know what? I want to be generous. How can I be generous? Just begin to speak life into people. Just begin to encourage people. Just begin to say, you know what? I see what you're doing there, and I'm proud of you for that. I think doing that in your kids' lives can make such a huge difference in their life. You know, you don't want to think about your kids like, man, I just want to make them strong. Like, I just want to make them, you know, life's tough. And so I'm going to make them tough. And it's going to start with how I talk to my kids. You know, that way of talking and thinking can really damage your children. But if you begin to speak life into them, begin to see their God-given potential, begin to call that out of them. You know, well, our son Everett, he's a passionate guy. You know, and so that means on the days he's up, man, he is up. And on the days he's down, he is down. All right. So, and he will always know exactly where Everett's at. And you could tell, man, I could tell him like, man, Everett, you're always up and down. You know, Everett, be more even killed. I wish you were more like this, or I wish you wouldn't do that. Or I begin to speak life into him. I can say, you know what, man, God's made you so passionate, Everett. I tell him he's got a fire in his bones, that he's going to be a world changer. And he goes, I got a fire in my bones? Yeah, you got fire in your bones, buddy. You're passionate. You're going to make a huge difference for Jesus. You know, that kind of life spoken into a person can make a huge impact. Speak life. You know, another way we can make our world bigger is by being generous through serving. Serving can make such a huge difference. You know, when you came in today, you may not have even noticed it, but there were people wiping up spills. There were people teaching kids. There were people here putting out cones so you could get in the parking lot. There were people getting ready for the worship service, people running camera, people doing all sorts of things to set up, and they're called our dream team. And you know what? I think we should give a hand for our dream team right now because they are some of the coolest people on the planet. And I'll tell you, their generosity is making for a bigger world. It's because of their generosity that people who maybe wouldn't ever come to church can come to church and feel in a welcoming, inviting atmosphere, that they can experience the presence of God, that somebody running camera can actually make an impact in somebody's family because they're going to hear about a God who loves them. It's going to change their heart, and then it's going to change their family. It makes their world larger just through a little act of generosity. Generosity can make a huge impact. Your serving can make a huge impact. That's why we talk about the dream team. That's why we talk about Grow Track. It's not because we need more people, although more people facilitating the vision is always awesome, but it's not that we need more people. It's that we want as many people as possible being builders of the church and making a difference because that's where there's life. When we live our life to say, God, how can I be a part of what you're doing? How many of you know God's doing something big on the earth? How can I be a part of what you're doing? What can I do? God's gonna bless that and expand our life. We got Project Partnership coming up. Yeah, come on. 20 years we've been doing Project Partnership. 20 years going into schools, finding schools that are desperate for just maintenance to be done or just cheering the place up. And it's cool to see how God's used that and the encouragement that you have been, and really all of this coming out of this heart, that what a generous church we're a part of with generous people. And, you know, we're going into schools this year. Two of the schools are in zone one. One of the schools we're going into has a 92% of the kids are on free and reduced lunch, which just speaks of the poverty, high mobility rates in all the schools, which means there's this turnover with the kids. But there's a desperate need for life and encouragement. In fact, Janine Forrester, who's the principal of Watkins Elementary, one of the schools we're going into, was walking around our team. And she stopped at a room and she said, I want this room, it's currently like a band room, I want this room to be a place where kids can come and they can just be, there can just be a peaceful atmosphere and a place where they can, you know, maybe do their homework or whatever, but it's a place of peace for them because so many kids in our school don't have that when they leave, don't have that at home. And she, with the team, she literally began to tear up and say, you know what? You have no idea what your investment means to us. Thank you so much for doing it. That's the power of something like Project Partnership. That's the power of being generous in our serving, and that's because of you as a church, and I think you ought to give yourself a hand and give the Lord a hand for giving us an opportunity like that, which is so cool. You know, you think of generosity, it has benefits all across the board for people. You know, the world of generous gets larger and larger. One scripture says that a generous person prospers, he refreshes others, will himself be refreshed. But it also has a contagious ripple effect. You know, that research shows that when people are generous, it's actually contagious. That's why you ought to hang out with people like James River Church, because it's a little contagious to get generous. That's why you ought to be at Project Partnership, because like, if I want to be generous, I need to get around generous people, because it's actually, it gets on you. That spirit gets on you. But it has a ripple effect. You know, you were talking about the Dream Team and the difference that they make. But if you think about it this way, if Dream Team people weren't here and we weren't facilitating a service to all the hundreds of volunteers that are a part, then the things that we hear about, like things like camp, nobody would ever hear about. But they're making it, setting an atmosphere for people to experience the presence of God and then to hear about things like camp. We got kids camp going on right now. And they just came back from kids camp. And Pastor Clint was talking about how so many students from this last camp just come from broken environments and are really hurting. One student lost their dad recently. One student lost their sister recently. Like heavy, heavy stuff. But man, there's such a presence of the Lord at camp. And just their goal is just to speak life into kids. And he said, man, it's cool to see that just in a couple days, you can visibly see the change in kids' countenance as they walk out of camp, the difference that it makes in their lives. It's powerful. And, you know, little kids, they're not able to say, like, you know, I walked out of there and I really sensed the presence of the Lord and I feel like God's working in six areas in my life. No, they're not able to articulate those things. So here's what they end up saying to like, the staff. They'll say, you know what? I love this place. And I never want to leave. And it's because they're experiencing the presence of the Lord. But if Dream Teamers weren't week in and week out making a place for the church to flourish and a place to be life, then things like camp would never be possible. Things like Project Partnership would never be possible. There's a ripple effect to our generosity. And it makes a huge difference when we're generous. You know, generosity can happen through words, it can happen through serving, but it also happens through our giving financially. You know, your giving financially builds the church. That when you give, you're actually changing somebody's life. You when you see somebody go down to the front and give their heart to Christ, you can say, I was a part of that. But when it comes to financial giving, there's a biblical way of generosity, and it's called the tithe. And the tithe is the first 10% of whatever we get. And the Bible says we should honor the Lord with the first because the Bible says it actually belongs to him. But when we do that, he promises to bless our lives. And this is all over the Bible. So it's not like just one scripture that you're like, okay, that's the scripture. But it's all over the Bible that when we give God the first, he blesses the rest. In fact, in Proverbs, it says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with new wine. So it's saying this, Solomon says, you know what? I've seen people when they honor God with the first, he blesses the rest. In fact, he says there's plenty in their lives when they put God first. You know, the Bible talks about the tithe and says, you know what? The tithe is for the storehouse. That's the place we worship. But when we give the first, God can do more with our 90% than we could ever do with our 100%. God promises to bless it. It says this in Malachi chapter 3. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. The whole tithe into the storehouse. That's the place we worship. That there may be food in my house. And test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out such a blessing you can't contain it. Now, I know as I'm talking about that, as you're thinking about that, you may be thinking like, you know, I don't know if I can even make it on the 100%. And you're talking about living on the 90%. How is that even possible? Like, I don't know how that works. And I can tell you all day long about like, hey, that is the word of God. But there's something powerful about just hearing a story. And so I want to invite David Crawford to come up to the platform. David is, give him a hand. It takes a lot of courage for him. And David is an accountant at Rose Metal. He's actually on the board here at the church. And him and Carol didn't always come to James River. But thank you so much for coming up here. David, incidentally, we were talking about doing electrical stuff, and he's the one who reminded me of that story at the beginning because he's made his... You made your own mistakes, haven't you?
Several. Yeah, quite a few.
But tell us a little bit about your journey pre-James River, your background, and just how you process giving and tithing. Okay.
Well, first of all, you ever see people give those nice little video testimonies in the comfort of their own home? I wish I had one of those gigs this morning. Carol and I believe in this, so I'm willing to get up here and hopefully encourage someone. But Carol and I both, she's right over here praying, Lord, please don't call me up there. We both grew up in homes where church was a very consistent part of our lives. And my parents were givers. Her parents were givers. We never were really coached up or talked about the tithe and giving, which I think is a missed opportunity for our kids. And Carol and I have been very vocal with our girls and tried to instill that in them. We kind of grew up in that, but not really tithing.
So then you were doing that. Did you ever, was there giving ever talked about in the churches that you were at or?
Yeah, the typical, you know, money sermon was the Luke 6:38, you know, give and it'll be given unto you, pressed down, shaken, overflowing. And that was kind of what our teaching was growing up and even in the church that we attended before coming out to James River. And so one morning, Carol and I, as a young couple, were listening to the sermon, and the preacher was trying to encourage us in giving, and then taking it to the next level, and getting to the tithe. And so we got done with that, and me being the young, brash accountant that I was, Carol's an accountant as well. We get home, and I break out the spreadsheet, you know, because I'm doing a budget now, you know, and so. I do the budget and everything like that and put it together. And as the priest of my home, I go to my wife and I say, there, we cannot tithe. It's not possible. You know, in my previous career, I mean, I was responsible for a $140 million budget, compiling it anyway, and putting it together in a very decentralized organization. So I knew my way around a budget. So I believed the paper in front of me. And I think that was the first lesson. This is something I wish I would have learned as a young man. Carol and I wish we would have learned it as a young couple, that God was saying, yeah, go ahead and do your budget. It doesn't make sense, does it? Now do that, you know, and had I learned that younger, we could have, you know, started this journey, this maturing journey sooner.
So you come to James River, and then what changed for you?
Well, we came to James River, and there was another sermon on giving. It was actually a series, a little mini series we were doing here at the beginning of the year on the basics, you know, and the topic that day was Christianity 101, and the sermon got to one of the 101 ideas was tithing, and we had heard, Carol and I had heard sermons before on giving, but it was something about being in this new family and this generosity, you know, the spirit of generosity that we were seeing in other people's lives, And the fact that this was, the timing was right. Everything just came together. That sermon hit our hearts. We drove home, and on the way home, we became tithers. I mean, there was no, you know, I did have to break out another spreadsheet to figure out exactly what I had to do for a tithe at this point. But you know, we were convicted, and Carol and I weren't against tithing, you know, and I didn't do this spreadsheet thing to prove that you shouldn't tithe. It was my comfort level of proving, you know, to ourselves why we couldn't.
Yeah. So what happened after you start tithing?
You know, the immediate effect that we saw from, the immediate blessing in our lives that we saw from tithing was that we didn't miss it. We did not miss the tithe. And again, I refer you back to my budget. You know, I was shocked. We were just shocked, you know, because I'd already proven that it couldn't be done. So how could we tithe and then not miss this money? And God started to work in our lives financially, but more importantly, He started to work in our lives as a young couple with our daughters. We started to grow in so many other ways rather than just finances. We were growing and maturing, and He was just kind of keeping an eye on us. He had a plan for us. We just didn't know what that plan was at that time.
Yeah, I wonder, and I'm sure as people are processing this, I mean, I think probably a lot of people think like, well, okay, so I know Malachi 3:10 says God blesses people who give. Like, how have you seen that in your life? And would you say that's true?
Absolutely. I mean, what I would tell, especially a young couple, I hopefully you'll get it sooner than Carol and I did. If you're thinking about dipping your toe into the tithe pool, I would say jump in. You know, jump in deep into the deep end. It's good. And there's, at least in our story, I don't know every story, but in our story, there was this treasure chest of blessing that God wanted to give us. And the key to that chest was several years of consistent, faithful tithing on our part. And that then opened up this next season of life for us, which where Carol's position at her work started, she got promotions, and so her territory started expanding as well as income. Then I was given the opportunity to switch positions, you know, and get into an equity position in a company in Springfield. And then my territory, you know, as well as my family's territory started to expand. And so God then, but that was after several years. It was God was working on us. I tell our girls that tithing is a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. And God had to get us in shape, you know, to receive what He was ready to pour out on us.
Cool. Very cool. And now I think another thing that I'm wondering is that did your giving, you see, because often scripture talks about the fact that like God blesses us to be a blessing. So as you saw God bless you, did that make it where you could give in other areas?
Yeah, there was a lot of cool things that happened in our lives, because things happen in everybody's lives, but sometimes you don't have the ability, you know, to take the opportunity to do something about it. You know, during the Great Recession, my whole family back in St. Louis is in the construction industry, and my dad and mom had kind of gone all in on an investment project and lost, you know, they lost everything. So, and even the house that my dad built in 1962 that all of us were raised up in. So my younger brother and I and his wife and Carol and I were able to come together, and because of this blessing that God was doing through us in our lives, through expanding our territory, we were able to buy that house. So now my mom and dad don't have to move out of the house that they raised us all up in.
So what would you tell somebody here who's thinking about stepping out in their giving?
Yeah, I mean, you know, sooner is better than later, but you know, any time is good, you know, on getting the message on the tithing. And like I said, don't dip your toe in, jump in. It's not going to make sense on paper. And I think that's the beautiful thing about it, that God wants us to understand. You know, I don't know how, you know, you hear these testimonies sometimes of someone starts tithing and there's this immediate, you know, huge windfall. And there was immediate reward for us. But then there was a season of us growing. And that was, I wouldn't trade that for anything. We did not know there was this next season waiting for us. And we were perfectly happy with what God was doing in our lives before everything else happened. So,
very cool. Well, thank you so much. Can we give David a hand? Isn't that cool? So I just want to encourage you in this. God can only give what we bless him, or can only bless what we give him. Can only give what we bless him. Can only bless what we give him. And that's true about our life. That's true about finances. That's true about any area of our life, that when we say, God, I'm going to give to you and I'm going to honor you, I'm going to take you at your word, God blesses our life in a big way. And so today isn't about like compelling you to give. Today is about saying, you know what? There's a power in generosity. There's a power in believing God's word, taking him at his word, and that your life gets bigger when you do that. That God blesses you on the inside, blesses you on the outside. But truth, the truth of scripture is that if you give to God, you'll never outgive God. You'll never outgive God. That's the truth. So as you think about it, you know, you might think, well, I don't know. Does God really like, you know, I think all the blessing is that God pours into our lives is just, you know, internal or just for eternity. And God does bless for eternity. But God blesses us today. God blesses people financially. I'm telling you, there's story after story of people who honored God with their giving and God blessed them financially. And I think there's something powerful about just making peace with that and saying, you know what, it's not about that. But God, when he pours blessing in, just like David was talking about, when he pours blessing in, it's so we can be a blessing to other people. You know, the Bible says, you know what, God will abundantly supply. So on all occasions, having everything you need, you can continue to bless. You can continue to give. That God blesses us so we can be a blessing. But God can't trust us with the blessing that he wants to give us if we're not saying, God, I trust you right now where I'm at today. And I think the coolest thing about the God we serve, and if you take something away today, I hope you take this away, that God is a generous God. God wants to bless you. That's God's heart. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your life. He wants to bless your finances. He wants to bless your relationships. He wants to bless you. He wants to fill you with this. And that's a powerful thought. And it's really important that we get that, because that affects how we approach God. It affects if we approach God with a confidence. That affects if we approach God with a joy, because, you know, sometimes we can see God, or different, you know, depending on how you grew up, you can see God as austere. You can see God as uncaring, as distant. But that's not the truth of Scripture. You know, we mentioned it earlier. It's the Scripture we all know. For God so loved that he gave, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, maybe it's in your grandma's house. It's knit together with like a deer on it and a nice placid lake. And it says this, it says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God has a future for you. God actually makes plans around blessing you. Maybe you're here today and you're not walking with the Lord, and you'd say, I don't know if that might be true for somebody who's been coming to church for a while, but it's not true for me. You cannot find that in Scripture. God loves to bless people. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. God longs to be gracious to you, the Bible says. He rises to show compassion, that God has made plans to bless you. Long ago, before time began, God had you in mind and had a plan to adopt you. I can prove it to you from Scripture. Ephesians chapter 1 says this, long before he laid the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He was thinking about how to be generous to you and had settled us on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided, I'm going to be generous to them. I'm going to be generous. I want to reach out to them. Just put your name in there. I want to be generous to James. I want to be generous to Cindy. I want to be generous to Brandon. Long, long ago, and decided to adopt us in his family through Christ Jesus. What pleasure he took in doing this. So this isn't God feeling obligated. This isn't God being like, oh, I guess I'll save them. No, this is God saying, you know what? I have them in mind and I want to bless them and I love them and I want to pour my blessing into their life and I want them to see how much I care about them. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved son. I want to bless them so they can know the joy I have by being a blessing. That's the kind of God we serve. God wants to bless you. God wants to speak to you. God has a plan for your life because he cares so much about you. We serve a generous God, and we reflect his heart when we're generous, when we're generous in our speech, when we're builders of the church through serving, when we're builders of the church through giving. We're not just living for ourselves. We're living a large, generous life and reflecting the heart of our great God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.